your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Welcome home.
It's your mom and dad. And Lee's back.
I almost forgot to do it.
Lee's back.
Lee's back. It does feel like a family.
I caught him. A stray dog has been caught.
Oh, Lee, we missed you so much.
I missed you guys. It's good to be back.
It's so good to have you back. We're healthy now, so you can get on the premises. You came back from a vacay. Was it fun?
It was amazing. I was so worried that I would get sick, though, because it's like a 50-50 for me to like get sick after
the travel. Sure, yeah. Sure. But you are healthy.
I'm feeling great.
We're all healthy.
Went to New York?
Yeah,
But you didn't go to New York. You went to upstate New York, which
I've
like,
never been to.
Because I texted you, and I was like, how's New York? And then you sent me a picture of the woods, and I was like, I think you're mistaken.
There's only one.
Are you in Central Park?
In the tri-state area.
Yes!
Shit, and I didn't really know what that was.
I love dropping the tri-state area.
Nothing feels better than saying the tri-state area, and I got numerous DMs after. I was like, where's the tri-state area? Because I just keep saying it, and people are like, how did you not know what the tri-state area was?
It was actually really embarrassing.
It was a very embarrassing moment for me. It was humbling. You know?
I was in the same spot. I thought it was like Chicago or something.
But that's what this podcast is about.
Being honest, being humble about our shortcomings.
It's learning, growing, being humbled, all of this.
That's not what this podcast is about at all. I mean, I love that, but it's like, you made it sound like we're like an inspirational, like entrepreneurial podcast. Like, you got to be honest about your sales numbers.
I thought we could transition into becoming like, we start as a reality TV podcast and then eventually, you know, when we're talking love, life, all of this. And then after being inspired by Zach Shallcross for so long that we eventually transition into an entrepreneurial life motivating podcast.
You know, that brings up something very interesting, which is on the finale.
Yeah.
One of the women who was possibly going to be on the show said that she was a certified life coach.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well,
because I thought, in order to be a life coach, you have to have done things in order to like show people how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like
the golden fedora.
You don't know what she's done. Maybe she's.
I'm not even talking about her.
Things.
It made me then go into kind of like Instagram people. Like I randomly stumbled upon an ex, like a friend, like not really a friend, but a guy I knew from back in the day. I don't even know how I ended up on his Instagram, but on it, he's now like a
certified life coach.
He's like a guy who like sits in front of the camera, like on Instagram and like tells people like what to do and how to live and how to get rich and how to do that. And I know for a fact he's not rich and he hasn't done anything. He still lives in the same place that I met it. Like, and I'm going like, that's what is that? Like that people can all of a sudden just be like, I can give you advice on how to be a baller. And yet I've done none of the things.
I love that. Like, I don't know how to cook, but I'm going to start a cooking show.
Oh my God.
Dude, it's exactly like that. No one would ever go, I'm going to take a cooking show from someone who doesn't know how to cook unless it's like, that's the gimmick.
I would love to watch that.
I would 100% start. I'll start a cooking channel today.
And you're basically starting from scratch. Holy shit. You guys.
Wow, Evan. Okay. God, that was gorgeous. You should be like a PR. Maybe that's what your shtick should be.
That's like a Patreon where it's like, it's just called From Scratch.
Starting from scratch, and
you have never cooked, and you're going to go from this to cooking unbelievable meals.
Wait, I really, really like that. But you know kind of what I want my gimmick to be?
Lee, can you bleep this entire conversation?
Because we can't have anyone stealing our idea.
No.
But here's kind of what I want my gimmick to be is I kind of want it to be on Instagram and I want to start a brand new Instagram and become a cooking channel, but never tell people that I don't know how to cook. So I want to act the entire time like I'm a cooking pro, like I'm a chef. Is that and what you call a cooking professional?
Yeah, no, it's all about confidence. That's the TV chef is all.
And you're
about
just like, wow, she puts a ketchup on it, everything. Everything has ketchup on it.
I'm just like, okay, now time for the oil, and people are like, that's water. What is she doing?
Like, she's making cereal. Why is she throwing oil?
That's okay. I use this nice thin oil. It's healthier.
It's a white thin oil. That's called milk. By the way, I love this idea. We should talk about this.
Oh, I do like that too.
Damn.
Let us know. Drop in the comments on YouTube if you're interested in me starting a cooking channel. And also let me know, do you want me to be honest and say starting from scratch and have me try to cook meals? Or do you want me to act like I know how to be a chef and you all as the family know the shtick, but everybody else on Instagram doesn't and is like, why is it? And you all can leave comments then being like, wow, you're incredible. You're an inspiration.
So it's just a big
and
ruse.
So it's a very confusing energy. And then we'll delete this episode when it goes viral so that nobody knows except all of you that are listening. Oh my God.
And then you'll become an amazing chef through this whole process. And
this is like a win-win. And then I'll get chef level meals at the house. So
this,
this is really part of my journey. Incredible. Incredible. Well, welcome everyone. Friday.
Welcome everyone. It is Friday. It's gorgeous because it's not too hot right now. And it's also gorgeous because today, as many of you know, we are talking controversial opinions.
Yes.
Your silly, ridiculous, controversial opinions, which honestly to me are very important because I think that's a way that you really get to know someone.
Yes.
When someone gives you their hot take, aka like we mentioned before, like friends are pointless, you really get to know someone quickly.
Wild opinion.
You really figure out the depths of someone.
Yes.
So we asked the family to
Friends are pointless. I mean, that is such a wild, that's not even a take. That's just wild. Okay, sorry, continue. Sorry. You know, like friends are pointless. I'm sorry, what?
I didn't know that was debated
in the live forum.
But so many people, so many members of the family sent in their fun, controversial opinions and takes. It was hundreds.
It was a lot.
I cannot wait to get into it. I say we hop in, but first maybe we each share a controversial take.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Lee, we're putting you on the spot, but if you think of one.
Okay, let me think.
You know? Okay. You want me to start?
Yes.
All right. Here it goes. Friends are pointless. No.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That was a personal one for me. No. My take is that popular things are overrated. When I say popular things, I mean like there's a new pizza spot that everyone's raving about. I think it's overrated. And this is why. This is why. Because when something takes off and it's super popular, I don't doubt that it's good. But what I do know is it's going to take me a million years to get a reservation. Or if there's no reservations, there's always going to be a 2-hour line, a 3-hour wait. Mm. No, I would much rather just go to Domino's and get subpar pizza than have to extend myself for something that is maybe just going to be a little better.
So how much of this has to do with you preemptively going into something that's incredible or the annoyance that there's a lot of people enjoying it at the same time you are?
Maybe it's a patience issue, but I also feel like then I get my hopes up.
Yeah.
But when something's like popping off on Instagram, like I'll use this for example. Sometimes there's makeup products that people are raving about on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I purchase said makeup product and it's too expensive and I put it on and I'm like, or I have to go on a wait list for it. And then it comes in a month and it was really expensive. And I put it on and I was like, yeah, it definitely works better.
Yeah.
But I'd rather just go to Rite Aid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, you're like the percentage that it's better is not worth all the drama.
There are very few things that I've ever experienced that I'm like, my patience, and maybe I'm just an impatient bitch, I don't know, but I'm like, my patience, my expectations are set through the roof.
Yeah. I agree in that popularity, like, The work that you now have to do in order to enjoy that thing is too much.
Yes.
Like you know what's a big one to me? Coffee shops.
If there's a line
at a coffee shop more than three people deep because they're just happening to get coffee.
I'm driving by.
But if they're like, I gotta get that coffee. Mm-mm. That's bananas.
Like, it's bananas, right? You know I'd rather just make a cup of joe for my own house.
But people, there really is something about hype.
That's what
people really enjoy this idea that they're going to be a part of something that's like really big.
Yeah.
And it's not even about the product anymore.
No, yeah. And you can't have popularity without a little bit of hype.
That's
and hype
the thing.
Is always going to like,
100%.
Maybe it's the hype that I'm talking about. To me, I feel like I always will be disappointed when I hear that much hype or I have to wait too long.
Especially.
And I'd rather go subpar.
Yes.
Maybe I'm living. You know what? Maybe I'm living in a world where my life could be better if I just dove into being patient and waiting for the hype. Maybe I'm living a subpar existence because I'm not worth the wait.
Lines out the door.
Yeah.
Constant.
But that's kind of the nature of like the theme park experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think like, yeah, in that case...
I guess that's not really hype, though. That's not really hype.
But it's also too, like,
busy because a lot of people go there.
When I go to a theme park, I'm like, part of the process of a theme park and the energy is you wait in line, you talk with your friends.
I see.
I guess when I'm just going to a coffee shop and I'm standing alone in a line, maybe I need to learn to be alone with myself.
I think here's the difference. Here's the differentiating factor. Anytime something comes out that is just like everything else, but it's just new.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the popular thing that I agree with you on.
Yes.
Where it's like there's a new coffee shop. There's a new pizza place. It's kind of like, I mean, I've had really good pizza. So whatever this pizza is going to be about 3% better maybe. But yet the line's out the door and I got to call ahead 3 hours in advance. That coffee, I've had a million different types of coffee. There's no way this coffee is worth an hour wait.
Like, that's, yes.
As opposed to if you invent something. Then it's like, I got to try that out.
Yeah. You're nailing it. It's product for me. Experience, worth it.
Yeah.
I'll wait in line and, you know, spend the money on seeing an artist who I really want to see perform or go to a amusement park or something like that. But it's product.
Yeah.
Product. Popular products are overrated to me.
Yes. Okay. Agreed.
All right, wow. You're supposed to fight.
Well, no, I agree. Well, you know,
this is family Friday fight night.
Yeah, but you know, it's it depends. But yes, I think it's like as long as something is like what I've already had before, that's where I'm like, this is BS.
Okay.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
Activities on vacations.
Okay.
No.
No activities?
Or like very little.
I'd planned activities and like schedules.
I mean like busyness on vacation.
Oh yeah.
Have I been torturing you our entire
vacation? No. I'm saying a lot of people do this.
Yeah,
a lot of people go to vacation and they're like, cool, okay, we landed in our tropical vacation. We have zip lining, hiking, you know, horseback ride, and it's just like every day is five things.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. Maybe pick three for the week.
That's still a lot of activities.
No. There's a lot of people out there that the second they land, it is like activity. Like they're never just chilling by the pool drinking. It's like busy.
Are you an active guy on vacation? A lot of people are
like this. Oh, no. I'm on Evan's side on this one. Okay. I can't like, I guess I get too stressed.
Yes.
You know, it's like, especially with a group of people, it's like you have to go, okay, we're going to like these five museums today.
Yes.
And then it's like really like, I mean, like no disrespect for people who like, some people must get like really enjoy the whole like pedal to the metal.
Yes.
I will destroy myself on vacation.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. But I want to just like relax and walk around, get lost, you know, find a cool place.
That was hot, by the way.
I know, that was get super lost.
That was kind of like a dating profile. Sometimes I just want to get lost and I don't want to be found. Lee.
I like that, Lee.
I will save that clip. I'm going to clip it for myself.
Clip it, post it. Okay, here's my thing. I, in my younger age, was more like that. As I've gotten older, I feel like the second we get to a hotel, you've got 30 minutes in me. And we got to move. Have you noticed this about me in recent years? It's like we land at the hotel.
Have I noticed this about you? Yes.
He's like, I married one woman and here I am.
Well, it's like you get going and it's like we just have been going for a year. And that's why we're going on vacation is to not get going. Like, where are we going to?
I used to just be like down to jelly. We'd get to the hotel room and I'd be like, let's take a nap and then figure it out and wander around. And now I'm like, I got 30 minutes in a hotel room. And then I'm like, we have to go to the pool or we have to go here or there. And I've got an itinerary to a certain degree and I do have a plan.
Yeah.
Because my anxiety, it just starts kicking in.
I see what you're saying.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, I have to do.
Have a drink. You know what I mean? I think I need to be smarter as a husband and start getting you drunk quicker. So that by the time we get to the hotel, you're not like, okay, let's get going.
Just
you know
airport
what I mean?
airport drinks.
Also, side note, there are two types of vacations, with kids and without kids. Because when you go to that pool, right?
Yeah.
No kids, you're kind of like, cool, let me just close my eyes, enjoy the sun for a second, have a drink. With the kid, it's like, can you throw the thing? Can you throw me in the air? Can we play the game? Can we do the thing?
See,
you know what I mean? So it also depends on like
and
how.
I don't need an itinerary when we have our kiddo with us because we're going the whole time. Then I don't need an itinerary. But if we're alone,
yeah.
I'm like, now, I think I'm used to then going constantly because of having a little busy kiddo.
Sure.
That I'm like, now I feel anxious just sitting here.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. None of these activities aren't going to be athletic.
Pull-up competition.
None of these activities are going to include me putting my life on the line.
Mm.
Like, you know, you're talking about a zip line. It's going to be, I've done it once. It's going to be a pass for me, okay? Like, you're going to tell me to climb a rock or go on a hike. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But what I can fill your itinerary with is restaurant, cafe, restaurant, cafe.
Yeah, right, right.
Cafe. You know what I mean? But it's going to be booked. We're not just like hanging. I'm like, we have this next, this next, this next. Yeah. Now we're just going to more food destinations, but I'm on a food tour.
Yeah, right, right.
But make
sure
that it's not a restaurant that's like too good so I don't have to wait in the line.
Sure, sure. Wow, specific, but I love it.
That's why we love a Cheesecake Factory.
Jess loves,
Cheesecake Factory is great.
Jess loves chains.
Oh, There's a controversial opinion. Chain restaurants slap. Like, I'm sorry. I know we live in just like a hub of incredible restaurants, and I love to support a small business, so I love going. But don't get me wrong. Nothing hits
your
harder.
Corporate slime.
Don't make me feel bad.
Brutal.
Don't make me feel bad.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let's just go out there and make billionaires more money, babe.
Stop, no, I feel horrible.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm just saying the taste.
It's consistent. It's consistent.
Slaps, okay? Is it gelatinous? Maybe.
You know what? You're a creature of habit for sure when it comes to food. You're not a big risk taker when it comes to food.
Probably just my life in general.
Maybe.
But nothing slaps like a chain restaurant to me. Like, you hit up a Cheesecake Factory, you hit up P.F. Chang's, you hit up a Yard House.
It does slap.
You hit up a Red Robin.
Like, that's,
I mean, it's not
far.
Great.
Well, you guys hit up a Marie Calendar. You're like, whoa,
get me started about the pot pie, honey.
Oh, man. Wait, did you guys ever go to Soup Plantation?
Sometimes.
One time?
That was, like,
but that was not a thing.
Was that your spot?
Yeah, and I'm so bummed, like, still bummed that they're, like, gone forever. I guess they're also, like, Sweet Tomatoes somewhere else in the world. It's like, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my like chain.
I do
that was
love
your
a
chain?
Soup.
Soup plantation.
I do love a soup. A clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Oh, Panera's fire.
Ooh.
Panera's good for that.
Panera's amazing. A soup and a sandwich, half and half. God. Come on, everybody.
These corporate slimes, you.
Lee, do you have any?
I don't know. I was trying to think. I mean, I'm a pretty non-confrontational person.
No, this is like, a confrontation. This is just kind of like a lot of, you know, this is kind of like anti-popular. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess like shrimp is pretty mid, I gotta say. Like shrimp weirds
shrimp
me out.
Is shrimp mid. Is mid is a hot take, and I love that.
Like there's like definitely like transcendent shrimp out there, but like on the whole, like average shrimp is just bad.
Transcendent shrimp, dude, what? There are some prawns that'll blow your socks
it's
off,
true,
but other than that,
I feel like shrimp is mid is like fire merch.
You know what? Here's the thing. To piggyback on that, I also think lobster is mid.
Mm, yeah, I kind of like lobster. Yeah.
Hear me out. Lobster is just big shrimp.
Yeah,
right?
Dude,
you bite
bugs.
You bite in the
it's
lobster.
Just bugs.
It's the exact same.
It's just
bugs, right?
In water,
and it's water bugs, dude. And when you bite into a lobster, it's the same exact texture as a shrimp. Similar taste. One's just dipped in butter, and so like they just make you think it's something new.
Yeah.
Also, it's why is it so expensive? It's also like so expensive. If lobster was like $5, we'd be kind of like I think it would be like shrimp. You'd be like, sure, throw it on my pasta. Why not? But because it's expensive, that's the hype thing.
It's hype.
Oh, back to your lobster is bullshit when it comes to hype. Like when you're paying $70 for like people buy like these lobsters at dinner and it's
like $75.
I think it's because
of like the process of getting it. I think that's why it's
but
so
what I'm
expensive.
Saying is like the taste is not relative
to the price.
Doesn't match
popular.
To the price.
Yeah, I'll shrimp and lobster mid.
Wow.
I'll like
ride
it's
for
fine.
Crab though. Crab, I'm down with crab.
Like king crab.
King crab, that's worth it.
Okay. You do the thing where you crack it and like dip it in the
yeah,
bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oof. It's heavy metal. When you got bags associated with what you're eating, that's very intense. But I love it. Okay, shrimp is mid. That
I
was
like
a good
this.
One.
I like this. You know what? I feel similar. I'm fine with it.
Like it's
I don't
good.
Agree with the lobster one, but shrimp is mid. I can get
shrimp
behind.
Is like.
And it, now that you guys are saying sea bugs, never eat it again.
Right.
I'll never eat it again.
Right. Well, shrimp just becomes whatever you're cooking it with. Like the flavor of shrimp.
Yeah.
It just becomes like if you're doing a garlicky pasta, it's just like garlicky pasta. Stuff like it's you know what I mean, the flavor itself doesn't really hold. Shrimp's always dipped in something. You're like shrimp cocktail, it's like completely swallowed in cocktail
sauce. It's a hearty
like,
sauce.
No
it's
one eats
strong.
Shrimp just straight.
Yeah, I
it's always
when, yeah. And when it's cooked badly, it's like really bad.
Yeah, yeah,
that's all this
true.
Is like the texture, it's rubbery like or like
crunchy.
Mushy and yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
shrimp is mid. I actually have mid. To really agree with you on that. It's
agree.
Fine, like I enjoy it, but it's not like gotta get me some shrimp. All right. Well, I like that.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
That was a good one, dude.
Transcendent shrimp.
Transcendent shrimp, dude.
Should we get into the families?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's get into the
we
families.
We have many to get to.
Okay.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I love the controversial opinions prompt. I have many controversial opinions, but one I will share today is somewhat seasonal. As I saw that Starbucks is getting ready to bring them back.
Oh, but I know where this is going.
My controversial opinion is that pumpkin spice lattes are trash. I've tried multiple pumpkin spice lattes from different places. Mm-hmm. I took a sip or two and just had to throw them out. It's just like a spice warm milk. It's just gross. I do love other pumpkin flavored things, so... It is just kind of funny that I don't like these, but I just, they're so gross. And it makes me irrationally mad that they will bring pumpkin spice items into August. It's not fall yet, even here in the Midwest. And I just love to say fall for fall. And I'm not down for the PSLs. Love you guys.
Oh, PSL.
PSL. PSL. Listen, you know what? Hard agree.
Oh my God, you're so wrong.
PSLs are... Now, that is pumpkin flavor to me, mid.
You're mid.
Here we go, the first controversy.
Your whole life's mid. Here's the thing.
Hold on.
Before you continue, I just have one thing to say, which is there is a right and wrong answer for all these. So just continue forward.
Listen up, okay? I'm not disgusted by a PSL, a pumpkin spice latte. I don't drink it and think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna vom.
Yeah.
That's not the case. But I will, without fail, every single year have one. And every time I go, you know what? It's that time of the year. I'll wait for fall, but I'm like, I'm gonna have one, and then I dive into it. And every single time I have three sips of it and I'm done, and I've wasted a PSL, I've wasted a drink, I've wasted my money.
Yeah.
The same goes throughout fall, anything pumpkin flavored, so mid, okay? Every single year I try pumpkin bread, I have a couple bites of it and I'm really excited. And then I'm like, why do I sit pumpkin pie? I take a slice and I'm like, it's not. Yeah. It's just no. Hard agree. That is
no,
so
wrong.
Hype.
You're wrong. So here's why. Pumpkin is timeless. It's old school, right? You're clearly just kind of like a Gen Z-er.
You just
like,
work for Big Pumpkin.
No, I would love to work for Big Pumpkin. Okay. You're kind of just like modern and you don't really know. You don't have like a history inside of you like I do. Cooking with pumpkin is like old OG. It's the same way I feel about cinnamon. I love cinnamon.
Evan's most favorite desserts include like pumpkin or cinnamon.
Yes.
Oh, but that's the flavor of the PSL, basically. It's
exactly.
Mostly cinnamon.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Evan also is 102 because it's like
I'm timeless.
For
I'm not old. I'm timeless.
Our next Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. The Beatles are so bad because it's like back in the 60s. Sorry. Pumpkin. So here's the thing. Pumpkin is so good because also it's what's cool about pumpkin and cinnamon too is that it's like it's seasonal. And I think that's cool. It's like, you know, you're busting out the hoodie.
Right, because it's getting cold outside.
So pumpkin cookies, pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin pie, dude. It's all so good.
But then how do you feel about it starting in August? Doesn't that take the magic out of it?
No, it's a fun surprise for sure. It's early. Came early.
Okay, I love pumpkin. I can't lie.
There we go.
But pumpkin in August, I mean, I feel like, do people drink iced pumpkin spice lattes?
That feels like an atrocity.
That feels really wrong.
I'm not a PSL believer, but an iced PSL is not
it. Dude, you got a PSL and you're picking out a Christmas tree or something?
No. You pick out a Christmas tree, you get hot chocolate, or you get a peppermint mocha.
Peppermint mochas are good too.
Those are good too.
But pumpkin is like if you're old soul. You know what I mean? Oh, old soul. You know what I mean? Raised in the wrong era type. You know, we all love those. That's me. Listen, I'm not saying I want to be this way. I just am this way. Timeless.
You and Lee are timeless.
We're timeless.
I mean, I haven't had a PSL in probably like 15, 16 years.
But oh my God.
Pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie. But no, I went through a phase like senior year of high school when like we got to park on campus in the cold LA morning. Yeah. I would like go get a PSL like every day.
To a PSL.
Too much.
That's so good.
I think I burned out of them, but I still respect them. But,
yeah. Now listen, I there's always an argument to be made that like a PSL is very chemically tasting because it's all like fake processed stuff, right? So like when you have a PSL, you're not like feeling this is like really good pumpkin. This is like, you know, this is like manufactured in a warehouse somewhere, but just the pumpkin flavor in general, huge fan of. I support big pumpkin. I'm a pumpkin head. I mean, let's just say what it is. Call me the pumpkin king. Call me the pumpkin king. Jack, call me Jack.
I will say it is good for our marriage in the sense that every fall, Evan buys pumpkin pies and stores them in our refrigerator and like makes his way through a pumpkin pie, and I will never touch it. So we're not ever fighting over dessert.
Pumpkin pie whipped cream.
Because typically we'll be fighting over dessert.
Yeah.
Because one of us is sneaking it constantly and then it runs out and then the other person is upset when they want their late night dessert. Yeah. I will never touch your pumpkin pie. I'll take one bite.
One bite
and then be like, yep, not it.
Not good enough.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we have differentials there because at least, you know, I get my own pie and you're not invited anyway to the old world.
God. All right. Next.
Hi, Mom and Dad. My name is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Such a huge fan of you guys. So thanks for listening to my message. I have a lot of what I would consider controversial opinions, but the one that seems to get the most people up in arms is the fact that I absolutely hate games. Board games, card games, yard games. There is no faster way to kill a vibe than asking me to play a game. In fact, if you feel the need to suggest we play games when we're hanging out, perhaps you're just not a fun or interesting person that's stimulated by good conversation.
Yes.
I could go on and on about my disdain for games, but I won't bore you with that. Thanks again for listening to my message. Goodbye.
Emily, I feel like you are going to find a lifelong partner in Evan over here.
Yeah. Yes.
You and Evan just got married.
I'm cool with games because they occupy the boring people at a party. It's like daycare for boring people.
It's like a laser pointer for cats.
It absolutely. This is a PSA. Games at a party are the laser pointer for the boring people. You could just kind of point it at the wall and they'll be like, what's that? And you're kind of like, cool, let them go so we could actually have a good conversation and say some interesting things. And I will say this, games are, there's a spectrum.
Uh-huh.
A really good, like card game that like, not like poker, but like a game that like has prompts that are conversation starters.
Oh, you mean like a we're not really strangers? We were asking each other like conversational questions?
Sure, or like, you know, what's the really famous one?
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. Like, that's conversational and can bring up creativity.
Yeah.
But like cornhole, dude.
Evan is so anti-cornhole. He's cornhole, bro. He's going to start like a whole like movement against cornhole.
Cornhole is literally like caveman level. Just like
throwing a
thing in a hole.
A lot of people talk when they play cornhole, though.
No, they get
too
intense. And that's the thing, is I think that what it does is there's like people who have replaced their personalities with like being super
competitive. Cornhole kings and queens.
Competitive.
Yeah.
And it's like when you can't turn your competitive nature off at like a backyard barbecue, I'm judging you.
I can resonate with.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like really intense. And it's like I got winner and stuff that, you know, the stuff like starts being talked about, like I got next.
What about
like,
if you're in the middle of a backyard hang and someone busts out the cornhole, but they're like casually throwing it while you talk? It's like tossing a football.
I'll jump in and toss a bag every once in a while. I'll play a game. But like if it's becoming a thing, I got to be drunk. I got to be drinking a lot, and then it becomes interesting because it's so boring. So anything that's like that, you know, anything that's like not conversational at a party is like, it's the laser. Dude, you nailed it. It's a laser pointer for the boring people.
You are a chatter at a party. Like you do not want to do.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah. You want to have conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is also a thing that's shifted recently for me. I've become a game person.
Right.
I used to hate games. Like I used to disdain board games, card games, all of this. Then once Ember got a little older, we started playing some card games and board games, which is so fun with her. But now I want to play them with people. Now I'm like, oh, I kind of get this energy. And now I like it because I feel like it does stimulate some fun conversation sometimes and brings the energy up. Now, where I will agree is I can't lie to you and say, this is my ego. If I go to a party and it's with people that I haven't seen in a while, like if I go to a party and it's my all of like our closest friends who I see all the time and someone busts out, you know, a game, I'm kind of like, yeah, cool. We see each other constantly. So this is a new thing. If I go to a party and it's people that I haven't seen in a hot minute, and after I've been there for a few minutes, they bust out a game, I become so self-conscious being like, am I so boring that you can't just sit and talk with me that you have to bring out a game? I make it about me. And then I get super in my head and then I'm like, I gotta leave because this person thinks I'm so boring that we need to play the game of life rather than speak to me.
Yes, yes, yes. I completely understand that emotion, but I think the cornholes, the things in that world are good for if you're having a party and a bunch of people you don't really know very well are going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like, let's say your kid goes to a school and you're like, let's have a birthday party where there's going to be like 15 sets of parents who I don't even know.
Right.
Have the cornhole, have the badminton or whatever it's called out there.
Yeah, it's
to play.
Good for some
it's
social.
It's kind of like, hey, Jeff is kind of weird and I don't really know him. And like, if I don't want to get stuck talking to Jeff, give them the laser pointer, whatever. But if you have like a backyard hang where like
you're like true
15
friends.
People you know well come over and there's like multiplicity of games set up. Dude, we have a close friend, a really good buddy of mine who I've been roasting for 20 years about this.
It's true.
20 years straight up. Because every time we hang out, like let's say we go to the beach, there's spike ball, volleyball, nine games. And he's like, you guys ready? And I'm like, dude, I didn't come here to sweat. Like, if I want to work out, I'll go to the gym. I didn't come to the beach at 35 years old to, like, be, like, exhausted playing this game with you. And he's, like, a very interesting guy. So I don't know why he relies so heavily on games. But no matter how bad you roast him, he just keeps gaming.
I think maybe the reason why for so long I, like, hated a game is because I'm really bad at them. So then I'd go over to people's houses and they'd all be crushing cornhole or crushing whatever. And I don't have an athletic bone in my body and I consider cornhole a sport. Or I'm also not good at card games. My brain just doesn't operate that way. So then I'm just like,
you're
this
really
isn't
good at beer pong, though.
I'm decent at beer pong. It's the one thing. You know? But I think maybe that's why I hated it so much too. But
I just feel like the older we got, the more the like game thing, you know,
becomes
less and less of an important thing.
But I think the older we get, the more games are brought into hangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not into it. you know, have a glass of wine and talk about something interesting. No offense, but
agreed,
you know.
Agreed.
All right, next.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi.
This is your third favorite daughter behind Ashley and Ember, Blair.
Hi, Blair.
I'm calling to let you guys know about my hot take, but please forgive me because I know that you guys like this. I cannot get behind the show, friends. I think it is dumb. I think it has an annoying laugh track, and I think the characters are annoying. My favorites, I don't understand how anyone could have a comfort show that is not The Office, Arrested Development, or Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So, yeah, there's my hot take, and you're never going to get me to watch it. Love you.
Blair.
Blair, you've made Evan sad.
Here's the thing. It's like Star Wars. It's like, you know, it's like I work with these bands and these artists, and a lot of them are very young and like early 20s. And you bring up like Star Wars, they're like, never seen it. Why would I watch that? It's like a lame old, like sci-fi movie. Never seen it. You talk to someone my age, it's like, of course, it's like one of the best movies of all time. Watched it every day as a kid. Friends to me, even though I came into it later, it reminds me of nostalgia. It's got a 90s thing. It reminds me of my childhood, like the kind of energy, the fashion, the vibe. I go, oh my God, that's got my childhood in it. If you're like 24, you're looking at that and going, yeah, it's kind of corny and like the look is weird. So my thing is this. I agree with you if you are under the age of 29. If you're over the age of 29,
that's generous.
I think you are wrong. Especially if you're saying you're cool with The Office and Parks and Rec, because that's the same thing. They're both like totally scripted, written.
There's no laugh track, though. I'm getting from 90s. You, Blair.
You don't like Seinfeld either.
That you don't like a sitcom, right. Probably the laugh track, which I understand.
And it's not like a smart show. It's just fun and like free.
Yeah. Versus like Arrested Development, that humor is like, like, you know, that's like high level humor.
And like, if you don't like Seinfeld, you're just wrong. So like, I'm glad you didn't bring up Seinfeld because that would have been a major issue. But Friends, I can understand there's like, you know, whatever. What do you think?
I mean, here's my thing with Friends. I used to be a hater. Mm-hmm. I grew up my whole life. And I'm 34, right? So that was like my generation watching that. Everybody was watching it. I grew up being a massive Friends hater. I was like, it's just stupid. I don't get it. Yeah. You know, I didn't understand. And I would see like one episode here and there and be like, blah, not into it. And then one day when I was 27 years old, I started watching. I got pregnant and I was doing a lot of laying around and sleeping. First trimester, I started watching Friends. And I was like, this show is a warm blanket.
Yes, it is.
And I thought I wasn't going to be able to push through starting at 27 because now, again, it's like it's older, it's grainy, the laugh tracks, everything.
Yeah.
No, I loved it.
Yes.
Okay. And that's then when I brought you into it because you hadn't seen it. I started watching Friends and I was like, Evan, we got to watch this together. And then we binged and then we binged again and then we binged again.
Yeah. Do you like Friends, Lee?
I've actually never seen it, but I don't. It's when it's on, I like it.
But I would say, Blair, I'm going to be team you on this part. I believe the other shows you mentioned are better shows. I believe they are.
Yes.
I personally believe all
they're
those shows are
shows,
better
sure.
shows, better writing. But just Friends is warm blanket, cozy. I am struggling. My depression is through the roof. What am I to do? Turning on Friends.
Yeah. It is a warm blanket. It is a warm blanket. But yeah, Blair, I totally understand what you're saying. But if you are over the age of, let's say, 30, then you're just inherently wrong. And we'll work on that together.
Right. Next.
Hello, Jess and Evan.
Hi.
It's me, Ari. Okay, I just had to share my hot take because I feel like
Ari
will relate to it and Evan will think I am nuts. But my hot take is that I love going to the doctor. And if I could go to the doctor every single day without it impacting me financially, I would. I would ask for every test. I would get every procedure done. If I could just constantly have blood work and just x-rays and whatever, I just always want to know what's going on inside of my body at all times. Like, knowledge is power. And yeah, I look forward to going to the doctor.
Knowledge
I
love it. Is power.
I love going to the doctor. Yeah, and I feel like that's an unpopular opinion. But yeah, let me know what you guys think.
Okay, first of all, this is our girl, Ari. Love you, Ari.
Love you, Ari.
Ari and I are just like, we just have the symbiosis of mind. Also, check
I'm
out.
I'm triggered right now by this. Check out, I'm so triggered.
Check out Sobriety, the podcast. Ari's amazing. She's been on Chatty Broads before. Okay.
Oh, God, my anxiety actually, this is no joke. My anxiety went up a little bit.
When I'll say this, when Ari and I are together and talking to Evan, our anxiety, we fuel each other and we then are like, oh, I see you with our anxieties.
You guys, her and Ari, when you're like sitting talking to them, it's just like, I could not understand people less than when it comes to their obsession with like illness and like ailments and like hospitals and all that stuff. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so let me say this.
Okay.
I love a doctor. I love going to the doctor. And I agree with Ari. If I could have tests done every single day, I 100% would. All the blood work, all the everything, every single day. Yes, it would make me feel so much better when I would start feeling an ache or a pain. And I would just be able to know exactly what it is. Living in mystery, I don't like. It's just like Ari said, knowledge is power. It's the same way that the reason that I'm scared to die is because I don't know what happens after. Okay, yes. I need to know exactly what's going on in my body. The problem for me is that I'm really bad at following through with appointments, with scheduling, because all of a sudden I'll be like, hey, I need to go to this doctor. I'd love to go to the doctor constantly, but then I get anxious and then I don't go. And that is just a wormhole of anxiety.
Yeah.
Which is why I love ZocDoc.
I know why you like to go to doctors.
I love ZocDoc because I can book online for the exact time that works with me. But I so agree. Now, dentist, other story. Obviously, I avoid the dentist at all costs. But the doctor, yeah. I'm like, bring it on, baby.
I know why you like to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of times what happens is doctors have crushes on you. And they think you're charming and beautiful. And then she comes back and then she's like... or like I'll even if I go with her and then it's like I'd just be like, oh, okay, there's like a weird vibe going on here. I'm like, no wonder why she likes going to the doctor. She gets hit on all the time. So that's one
first
thing.
Of all, how dare you come for this isn't a very important profession. Do not make it like that. Okay,
yeah, no,
shout out
exactly
to doctors.
Second of all, Ari, you said knowledge is power. I have a counter to that, which is ignorance is bliss. Okay. And do you want bliss or power? Because you kind of sound like a power hungry, like, so I don't know what's going on with your power dynamic. I'm more a bliss person. You know what I mean? So, and the thing with the hospital is like, it's the most the doctor, it's the most inconvenient experience ever. You got to drive there, sit in an uncomfortable chair for like 40 minutes while you fill out paperwork, then go in. And then somebody comes in and goes, interesting. Okay. Well, we're going to do 17 more tests and then hopefully you'll know. That's every doctor's appointment. And then you have to drive to get tests. You know, that's fascinating. Yeah, I will be like, I will push it to the limit. I'll be like, oh,
no.
This whole thing. And my fingers are falling off.
No,
and I'm just like,
no,
I'm sure
Evan
be fine.
Evan doesn't push it to the limit. Evan doesn't do it. And nothing, like, we will have, like, the most, like, our arguments. Because I'll be like, Evan, you need to go to the doctor. And by the way, I don't push you to go to the doctor on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Like, what I would love to do is just, you know, be at the doctor's and getting checked up and checked in on all the time.
Yes.
It will literally be like body parts are falling out of Evan and he'll be like, it's going to be okay. And let me just put a little butterfly bandage over this like gash.
First
and I'm
of
like,
all,
Evan,
I don't use band-aids. So I don't use those. But if something is bleeding extremely, I will wrap it. You know, I will tourniquet myself a little bit.
Evan performs surgery on himself.
Like stitched yourself up.
Oh, yeah. Big surgery guy.
Let me make this clear. If he sees like an infection on like his hand or something, I have been there when he has like taken a knife, heated it up, and then split his hand open. Okay. Like I have watched him perform surgery with knives
drained
on
it,
himself.
And it worked out perfectly.
It,
so
it is
whose resume do you want to go with? Right now, you're kind of like a certified life coach. I'm like, I lived it, guy.
Yeah, he's still alive. That's,
you know
something.
What I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm a little bit of the guy who built the company, and you're the guy, you're the person who got certified at some like center. So who knows? I don't know. I listen. I understand. It's like an anxiety thing. It's like, I want someone to tell me everything's okay. But going to the doctors, the process is incredibly inconvenient.
I understand that it's not the warmest place in the world, and it is, you know, it's the bright fluorescent lights, and it's a little bit chilly. So, like, physically, I don't love the feeling, but in my heart, wow, does it make it warm.
Wow, interesting. So, all right. Yeah.
Shout out, Ari. I see you.
Wow. You guys should, whenever you guys have little ailments, you guys should take each other.
You know what? That should be what we do.
That's
what,
that should be your
connection time. We should have our regular
time.
Trip together.
Yes, I love that. All right, next.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I love the pod. Love you guys. Long time listener, first time caller. My controversial opinion is it should be socially acceptable to eat your boogers. I don't know why it's not. I feel like it's super normal that people do it all the time, but people are always doing it in secret and feel really ashamed to say, I'm a booger eater. I feel like you should be able to loud and proud say, I'm a booger eater. And that's how I feel. I don't know. Bye, guys. Love you.
Okay, wait a second. I'm obsessed with you because this is a true controversial opinion. Like, this is a controversial take.
Yeah, you are. You are on a cruise in the middle of the ocean by yourself, in my opinion. That is a party of one.
I don't know, though. Because I think...
Maybe she's like in a booger community, though. Because she's talking like everyone does it. I'm going... I don't know anyone. And if you do it now, I'm especially triggered by this one.
Yeah, I have to say, Evan, is this for you is like top tier. Like, you right now are probably having a hard time not like dry heaving because, you know, but of course, children seen, you know, you see a kiddo who does an excavation and then an eating. Dude, Evan, I'll watch him be like physically dry heaving if he sees it. And I'm like, watching a little kid who doesn't gross. I mean, like, this is a kid who doesn't gross me out at all.
It's disgusting on the levels. Dude, I remember I was at something with Ember and I saw some little kid like pick his nose and eat it. And I almost vomited. I'm so triggered by it. It is. Why are you eating it?
Yeah, that's the next.
That's my question is, why does something need to be edible? Like, it won't kill you, but. It's like, why do you eat it?
That's where it gets.
There's got to be some sort of medical reason why people eat their boogers.
I think there should be more of a movement of like talking about picking your nose. We all of us pick our nose. Like, come on. What's the shame in picking the nose? We've all been driving. We've all got the feeling and we stick the finger up the nose. OK, it is what it is. We don't always have a handkerchief around to, you know, handle the situation. Yeah. Sometimes you pick. OK, the eating is intense, and I love that you said this.
I appreciate your honesty, and I do accept you as a person, but I reject your behavior.
It is very brave.
It's very brave. So I appreciate this forum that we've created, this forum for you, this free forum. And listen, I'm grateful that people can make their own choices.
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
You know what I mean?
It's your body.
But there are few things that are grosser to me than eating boogers.
I have a question for you. This is gonna. I'm sorry, everybody. People are gonna start puking when I ask this.
I'm actually thinking about it now. It's making me ill. But
why? I feel really. I feel like I'm gonna get sick even asking this. Do people eat their earwax? Because it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, we pick at our ears.
Yeah, but no, but I know. I see what you're saying. Like, it's kind of the same concept. Like,
but
yeah.
I've never heard of
it's
anybody.
It's a hole really close.
But
to
I've
the
never
other
heard
hole
of anybody eating earwax before, right? I don't think that's a thing. But isn't it kind of the same? I'm going to get sick.
Sorry.
Isn't it kind of the same thing? Lee's going to get sick too.
But just imagine you know, here's the thing. There must be a taste with the booger that is like sweeter.
Oh, okay. Now, right? I mean, I didn't need the definition.
No, but I'm saying there must, like, you know how when people cut themselves, they go like this. Do you do that?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But people do, and they say it tastes like pennies. Like, you've tasted blood before, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure. You hit when the you mouth bleed in your mouth.
Yeah, it tastes like something.
Ooh,
so maybe some people like that taste. So like, it's like the idea of, oh, I cut myself, and then they suck on it. Maybe the booger is a version of that, where it's like, oh, this is like a little note, like a little candy. Oof. Little green candy.
Listen.
Little sour apple, they call it.
Listen, dear family member,
Lee's feeling sick over there too.
Your bravery. and it is your body, so you have your enjoy. Choice.
The beautiful thing is you have a limitless supply of candy forever.
But I can't have your back on this one. This one, I will say, the nose picking, sure. The consumption, it's not something that I'm going to be able to get behind. Oh, shit, next.
Hi, Mom and Dad. My name is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
And I am a longtime listener, first-time caller. But I love you guys so much. You guys are so great. But my controversial opinion is that chocolate tastes like poison. It's really gross. Anyone who likes chocolate kind of gives me the ick.
Whoa.
I've hated it for my whole life. And it's not like I don't like bitter or like candy. Like, your girl loves Aperol Spritz. That's pretty bitter. Love candy. It's just chocolate is absolutely disgusting, and it tastes like someone's trying to poison me whenever I like get a whiff of it.
Wow.
That's it. That's my controversial take. So anyways, love you guys. Hope you're doing great.
So we go from the taste of boogers, the enjoyment of the taste of boogers, to the rejection of chocolate.
This actually, I think, was the same person. They're like, and she goes, at the end, she goes, and you know what's interesting is boogers actually taste very good.
I don't know what I'd do with myself, man. If this is like, we get another call, it's like boogers.
Yeah, it's just like, God. That's like everyone's
my
calling
world,
in.
My reality.
It might crumble.
Especially because it was like, oh, there's lots of people doing this.
But I'm saying maybe there are. Maybe there are.
It's an underground booger community.
Yeah.
Okay. Chocolate tasting like poison.
I mean,
there's probably just a wire in your brain that's not connected. It's like the chocolate tasty connection. You know what I mean?
It makes me think of people who don't like cilantro.
Yeah, they say cilantro cilantro tastes like soap, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you guys like cilantro?
I like cilantro.
You like cilantro?
It's neither here nor there. I mean, when it's on like a taco, I'm like, yeah, cool. But I'm never like, maybe, can I get some cilantro?
Yeah, maybe I like soap too. I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird because I do eat bars of soap when I'm taking a bath.
So it tastes like soap to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you really don't like it?
I really don't like it, and it has like the actual soapy taste to me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's not controversial to say that it tastes like poison. I think it's more just maybe you have some sort of like thing that makes it taste like poison to you.
That could be. And also like chocolate by itself, like no sugar added. It's like,
well, that's, you know, who's that?
Right.
Who has sugarless chocolate? Yeah.
I was going to say if we're talking dark chocolate, I can get, I'm not a huge dark chocolate fan.
Your milk.
Because it's a little bitter. I love a milk chocolate.
Okay.
So when she was explaining the Aperol Spritz thing with the bitterness, I'm like, this feels more like a dark chocolate, but maybe when she has milk chocolate too, it just, there's a thing in her palate that makes it taste bitter. Now, what's wild to me, Emily, is that you said that someone who likes chocolate gives you the ick.
That's where the connection's totally different.
Now, that is, and I love unlocking a new ick. That is an ick I have never heard before. And I have to tell you, I feel like most people like chocolate.
Yeah.
So for you,
I shrink that dating pool quick.
I was going to say, for you, the positive end of it is that you are going to find your person probably quite quickly, because I would imagine like 1 out of 100 people don't like chocolate.
It's got to be more than that.
Really? You
yes.
think? I'm just yes, like a chocolate connoisseur.
I think chocolate is used in so many things too. There's so many desserts that has chocolate in it. Where it's not just, yeah, like he's like just eating a bar of chocolate. I understand that. Maybe it's not your jam, but like every candy bar, there's cakes. I mean, there's so much made of chocolate. So the fact that you're not getting into that, but yeah, the fact that you're then judging other people, which is you're kind of then judging like most of the world, I think you need to do some introspection on yourself a little bit and kind of start going, wait a second. It's me versus the world. Maybe I should kind of ask myself a couple questions.
You can't help what gives you the ick.
That's true.
You can't help. That's true. And I really do think that it's just beneficial to help slim out the dating pool.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just an easy profile question on a dating profile to put up. Be like, if you like chocolate, don't bother messaging me.
Interesting.
And like a hard line, like do not message me.
Interesting. And I wonder if she feels the same way about her friends too.
interesting.
Yeah, like she only has her friends all also don't like chocolate.
Exactly. It's a small hang.
Does Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory enrage you? Yeah. Are you disgusted watching just all that chocolate, the chocolate river? Like, does it make you feel sick?
Would you say that Willy Wonka is a horror movie?
Yeah, 100%.
In the horror category. You're like, I love Saw. I love Blair Witch. And Willy Wonka. Those are my three, you know, my three most terrifying movies of all time.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Next.
Hi, Mom and Dad. My name is Becky. I'm from Ohio. My controversial opinion is that I love when the days get shorter and it gets darker. Being in Ohio, we are definitely prone to having all four seasons. And I hate this time of year when the days are so long and the sun comes up so early and it's still light until like 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I love the winter where I get to drive to work and it's dark and I come home and it's dark. I am a little vampire and I love it. My husband thinks I'm crazy. Curious what you guys think. Bye.
Becky, my soul connection. The darker it can be, the longer the better. Vampires for life. When it gets dark at like, if it could get dark here at 5 p.m., I would be like 1,000%.
Yeah.
I want it dark from 5 p.m. until about 6 a.m.
5 p.m. to 6 a.m.
I want it.
Okay. 6 a.m. is not, I mean, 6 a.m. is kind of like, it's a little dusky out.
It's just because I can't. If I didn't have a kiddo, I would want it to be dark from 5 p.m. till 8 a.m. Because
they said they like going to work when it's dark. That means they're getting up, showering, eating, coffee, all in the dark.
I would like that too if I didn't have a kid. Okay. With the kiddo, I'm a little bit like, yeah. Okay, I feel like then she, you know, she's feeling still sleepy because it's dark. The light wakes her up a little bit.
Got it.
But oh no, the darker the better all the time. Just live in just in the evening. Oh, my God. I agree with you. I feel so much more anxiety when it stays light until like 9 p.m. or like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I like the gloom. I like gloom.
We love a rain.
You know, maybe I would offset it a little. I like the 5 a.m. light, but like, yeah, like 5 to 5.
5 to 5.
That's cool with me.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous.
Like, because I don't want to wake up in darkness, but I don't mind when the darkness comes a little earlier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I, again, vehemently disagree on every level, dude. It's like, I guess you don't like joy. Because it's like, dude, the sunlight.
Correct. I like the sadness.
Yeah, you're a sad sack. You guys are all sad sacks for sure.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I am like, dude, the sun screams life. We're alive. That's when the plants go, you know, it's when everyone's, it's like the energy, literally you're getting energy put through you by the sun, uh-huh. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It signals to me, like for me, my whole childhood growing up near the beach was like when it's summer, it's when the sun's the hottest and out the longest. That signifies like, we're going to the beach every day. We're having fun with our friends, endless playing, right? So like that has gone into my adult life now where it's like when it's sunny out, that means that like even if you finish with work, you can still grab like sangria at like a patio and like have a good time and it's nice, or like go to the beach and it's long and you have sunset and you can have like some food with the sunset. Like it just signifies like, we have so much more time to be doing fun shit. But what if it's dark early? It just kind of like my body shuts. Go, oh, I guess it's kind of time to start wrapping
Nothing
it up and go to bed.
It gets more fun than when it gets dark out, baby.
Now, when you want to go to a bar with your friends at night, yes, it's when it's light out. That's weird. But other than that, the sun being out late is my favorite thing. If it's 9 p.m. and the sun's still out, I'm like, yes.
I want to live in a puddle. I want to live in the gloom. I want to live in the dark. I want to live in a cave.
What
okay?
is that, by the way, guys?
It's called...
But what is it about the cave?
Oh, you know, it's like the cave is it's consistency. It's like a consistent temperature. Yeah. You know, it's dark. You know, when the sun's out, it could be too bright, too hot, which I often feel.
Oh, the case. Yeah. You guys get hot.
But yeah, I mean, I grew up in Santa Monica, right? So like my favorite time was June. June gloom, June they call gloom. It. You know, you go to the beach and it's cool and gray. And yeah, I don't know.
No, it's not weird at all. I honestly think it's like a personality type. Like, they're like, you guys represent a large portion of people that like that kind of energy.
It's introspection to me. I'm like, I want to be indoors in the dark, just flickering lights of like a fire and candles.
My gosh.
No.
See, for me, my dream house is like open. Everything's open.
Well, I don't know if this is going to work.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. But yeah, yeah. Can I say this, though?
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree that she's wrong when it comes to the morning? Like, driving to work in the dark is
that's
tough,
brutal. That's brutal.
Man.
Oh, man, I don't like it.
That's getting out of bed when you're tired and it's pitch blackout is next level tough.
I like waking up and it being dark and, like, having my coffee and slowly coming into the day. The work part is where I have to, that's the tough one for me.
Sitting down at your desk and it's pitch black.
Like, if it was pitch black while I'm getting up on the weekend, I love it. But having to go to work is like, then I'm tired. Again, I'm introspective. Yeah. I just want to be in my sweats and be cozy.
Right.
I think that's a lot of what the darkness signifies to me too. I have two modes in the dark. I'm either full cozy or your girl is wearing some knee-high leather boots and a crop.
Yeah.
And a red lip. Right, okay. So that's right. Those are the two
danger
modes.
Danger and retreat.
And I love
attack
it.
Attack and retreat. Those are your two.
Those are my two modes and two I speeds. Love it. Okay. When it's dark, those are my options. Okay?
Okay.
So that's what I like. But waking up, I'm never in the mood to be wearing, you know, a leather boot and a crop and a red lip. So I only want to be cozy. So
got
having
it.
To go to work in that, I can't do.
Understandable. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Nice. Next.
Mother and father, I love you so deeply. My name is Megan, and this is my controversial opinion. 3, 2, weddings are so embarrassing. So deeply embarrassing. Like, I get embarrassed watching weddings.
Oh,
I can't even ever get married because, the thought of somebody even suggesting to me that I have a wedding is something that I can't really... like, I'm a people pleaser, so I'll say yes, but you're telling me that I not only have to, like, get married, like, sign a certificate, like, and now I'm joined with a person, ew, and then after that, I have to, like, dance with my dad and everybody to watch?
That's good.
No, that's so embarrassing. And then, like,
dance with my dad.
You know, these bachelorette parties and not bachelorette parties, what am I, wedding showers, people are giving, like, unhinged gifts, like, in front of my great aunt. Like, I'm supposed to, like, not know what's in a bag and then open it up and then it's lingerie in front of my mother? No, that's so embarrassing. No. And then, like, I have to, like, kiss. Oh, my God. And then when people, like, ring the dingy thing, they ring the ding and then you have to, like, kiss. Like, that's hazing. Oh, my God. I will, like, bless you, too, for doing it. I'm sure it was lovely. But
no offense,
yeah, I could never. Peace and blessings. Weddings are embarrassing. Love you. Bye.
Wait,
you're very funny.
That
was very funny.
I'm like Megan. You need to. I don't know if you're on TikTok posting things or have a podcast. You are a writer because that was a 10.
That was funny. That was very funny.
You know what? When you put it that way.
No, honestly.
Honestly, I love going to weddings.
Yeah.
I love going to weddings. But now that Megan, you might have just convinced me. I loved our wedding, but you might have just convinced me, Megan, that weddings are very embarrassing.
I mean, most ceremonies in general are kind of insane, right? When you're
it's
ancient, you know, they're like old, very old.
Yeah, the rituals.
Living in a modern day when, like, there's all these, you're always doing all these rituals. It definitely, like, is very strange.
Like,
and
the
then,
garter and the throwing of the bouquet is like so cringy, and we totally did it.
Yeah.
But it was also when we did it, my whole body hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I was so like, this feels so cringy and everyone's looking at us. But I was like, well, it's part of the ceremony, right? So we're supposed to do it. And then when I look back on the photos, I'm like, oh, man.
No, honestly, I actually very much enjoy weddings. And I know it seems shocking. I think most people would think I would hate weddings, but I actually very much enjoy them. I think the food's fantastic generally, free drinks, and you just kind of let loose and have fun. But to your point, I kind of agree. Like, there's kind of this, like, it's all so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That in order to enjoy it, you kind of have to turn your brain off. Because if you actually sit there and think about how ridiculous this is, you're like, what are we doing? There's all these weird little things we're doing for no reason at all. And yeah, dancing with your dad and throwing bouquets, and like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And clearly the whole thing is like a ceremony that's just been things. People just tacked things onto it.
Yes.
Right. Like, people just started doing random things. And so it's become this like crazy thing. Like, you do 47 things in a wedding, but like, 100 years ago, they probably did two of them, but then everyone started doing random. Like, it's like a smorgasbord of just like random crap you do.
Yes.
And it is ridiculous.
Yes.
So I agree that it's absolutely ridiculous, but I do think in order to truly enjoy a wedding, you have to turn your brain off and just let go.
I have to be honest with everyone right now, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I feel like I probably have. I feel like you probably felt the same way. I was so embarrassed doing our first dance.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed.
Like, well, I was just looking at you and loving you, so I don't know what you were doing, but that's interesting. Okay, that's fine. Continue.
I wasn't present at all in our love during our first dance. There was no moment where I was able to turn it off and just be like, I'm in this moment with you. I was thinking the entire time about everyone watching. And I was also like, I'm such a bad dancer. Mm-hmm. Like, in that form, I'm like, I guess I can kind of move a little bit sometimes.
You're a great dancer.
Like, I mean, if you're a random, if I'm like on a random dance floor with a DJ, but like proper dancing,
well, sure.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was just in my head the entire time. I kept stepping all over your feet. I was stepping on my dress, and I was so embarrassed the whole time.
Yes. Yes.
And that was
a
moment.
I understand.
I don't know if you remember, but I looked at the DJ and was kind of like, we're done. Like, the whole song that we were supposed to dance through was like a 2.5 minute song. And after about 50 seconds, I was like, I kind of looked at the DJ and I was like, call the people up now.
Yeah.
Like, please have them join us. I don't want to be in the center.
Okay. Can I tack on?
Yes.
An opinion. And this is like, I am so passionate about this because I've participated in it in weddings. And obviously been at all the weddings that this happens. After the ceremony, everyone sits down. And then they start playing music. And the wedding party comes back in, couple at a time.
Oh, like a, yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone like from each side. Right. Yeah.
Well, no, they'll be like, everybody's sitting down. And then the DJ goes, all right, welcome back, the best man and maid of honor, blah, blah, blah. And they introduce each wedding.
Yeah.
And then you got to do some dumb shit where you go and you're like, and you're like, okay, be silly and do some stupid shit. And that makes my blood boil. It actually makes me angry. I've had to do it, and I'm just, like, she's looking at me, and I'm like, hey, I met you 2 hours ago, and then we're supposed to do something silly together, and then we come out, and we're just like, dicky, 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 and everyone's kind of like, yay, it's these random friends. Like, that whole process drives me mental. Oh. Just have them come sit down and then introduce the married couple.
Yeah.
But it's like the idea that like there's this, you know,
yeah, the wedding party.
The wedding party gets introduced. It's like, I could care. Who are these? Why would I care what these people are? Random friends? That really gets me going. Especially if you're in a wedding and you got to like be silly in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah, I don't like that pressure. When I've been like one of the bridesmaid or whatever, I'm like, please, I just want to walk in. I don't want to have to do like a dance. And then I'm like feeling pressure like, well, the person in front of us just did that. So now I got to change something and like do something different.
That was mine. I was going to do the thing.
I was going to do the worm.
Yeah, I was going to do the thing where we leapfrog over each other. You know what I mean? Because that's the shit you're doing.
Next time I'm in a wedding, if I'm ever in another wedding, I'm going to be like ask the partner who I'm walking down with and be like, do you mind if I just punch you in the face? Like,
seriously.
That's exciting. I'm like, let's start a fight. That's fun. Yeah. All of a sudden I'll pull your hair or I'll punch you or I'll trip you and everyone gasps. And then it's like a full food fight
trip.
Brawl.
I like the trip.
You know, like let me do something like that.
I love the idea of tripping. That's great. Like you, like you're walking and you fall and you kind of like hit your face. Like it looks like you're your face. And then like you have fake blood everywhere.
I'll just like smush raspberry cake on my nose.
And like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then it's bleeding everywhere and your teeth is missing. Like that's good. But leapfrog. You know what I mean? Yeah. That would actually be really funny.
So Megan,
you go, you slam your head. Oh my God! And you like have a like a mouthpiece that has no teeth.
So Megan, I fully understand. Though we did have a wedding, and though I do love to go to a wedding, I completely hear you.
Agree.
And you've convinced me. You've convinced me.
Yes. Hi, Mom and Dad. Huh? Love the pod. My controversial opinion is that when you work in an office, you know, a lot of the times, like, your supervisor will try to do, like, team building activities, and they'll do, like, a lunch buffet or something like that, like, on your lunch break. And it's kind of one of those things where, yes, it's optional, but it's, like, unspoken. Mm-hmm. Everyone should still go. I think you should get paid for that. Mm-hmm. If I'm having to hang out with my coworkers, which
yeah.
I would not choose to hang out with outside of work, then I should be getting paid. Also, I should not have to bring something that I cooked, which I paid for.
Oh,
like
that's
the
nuts.
Company needs to be providing a catered buffet if they want us to get together on lunch. That's just my opinion.
This fries me, okay? This makes me so mad. I am so in agreeance with this person.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, first of all, the whole team building activity with companies, it makes me mad in general, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that is like, hey, we all know what we're doing right now, right? Most of us, if we're like in a corporate setting, most of us were like, we're doing this to make money.
Yeah.
This is not like, hey, I want to hang out with all my coworkers. You don't need to inspire me to become more of a team. Okay. If there's drama in the team, then have a sit down with HR and we'll talk it through. Okay.
Yeah.
If there's drama going on, but you know what's going to cause more drama? You doing a team building activity with me. Because if I have to go like on a weekend or something too and go do some sort of like, you know, picnic and then like relay race with my team members, that's when drama starts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because then I have to hang out with them outside and then I start to realize like, oh, I don't really like that person, or they said this and this is weirder. No, I will never in my life get over when I worked at Victoria's Secret. Okay. They would do this regularly too, at the end of a at the end of the day. So after we're fully closed, which already takes so long to close a retail store and to get everything all organized. And I don't know if this was just my store that I was working at. I feel like it probably was a general thing. They would on a regular basis have us do like team building after work.
Yeah,
okay. So it's late because the mall would stay open.
Be illegal.
And they would make us do like chants together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. No. So it would be like,
that's some
pink.
Corporate shit.
They'd be like, yeah. Pink, 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 pink. We'd be all clapping and like dancing around. And I'm like, I just want to go home. I've been working for a long time. I just folded a million thongs. I don't want to be chanting.
How do you fold a thong,
pink.
You know?
Okay, good. That's a whole, it's a whole technique. But I don't want to be chanting this, okay? If you're having us get together afterwards to show us that we have to learn how to fold a thong a new way, fine.
Sure.
But the team building, and now with this whole situation where it's during your lunch break.
And they were saying, it's a potluck, so you got to bring something.
Where you're spending your own money. I have to take time to make something. Lord knows, already, like, you know, obviously I'm starting my own cooking show, but I don't know how to make anything. So that's already a drama enough. And then I have to spend my money and bring it. But it's that whole, it's like we all have to have lunch together. I don't get a moment alone.
Yes.
And it is that whole thing of like, it's not required. But if you don't do it, you're looked down upon. And then all of a sudden the boss is a little bit like, I don't know how committed you are to this team. And it's like, I'm doing plenty of work
you're
already.
Like, I'm committed to my paycheck, not this team.
Yeah, I'm committed to doing a good job working and then committed to on my lunch break going in my car and scrolling through Instagram and eating my food alone.
Yeah, like if you're working a job where you don't have like, if you're working a job where you don't have like deadlines and it's more just kind of like a duty job, let's say like you just have to like fill hours, I would say that the way to do a team building exercise would be to be like, hey, after lunch for 2 hours, you don't have to work. We will pay you.
Yes.
And we're going to go do this fun thing together. So like we're going to have like food and coffee or something like that. And you guys can just hang and chill and we'll pay you to just like mix with each other and kind of get that vibe. That's cool. But like when you start taking time out of the workday, this Saturday, we're having a team building
illegal
event.
Oh, no. It's wrong. It's illegal.
It's absolutely wrong.
It's wrong. And also even that, even like, hey, I know your workday normally ends at 5. We're going to stop at 3. And now we're all going to go to the TGIF next door.
Yes.
I am not even okay with that. I'm like, you know what's team building to me is you telling me that I normally have to work to 5. You're letting me off at 3 p.m. to go enjoy your life. And you know what that creates? Good morale. And yes. So then I'm happy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hop in the next day and I have a good attitude because I got to go home early and they paid me and I got to go do whatever I wanted. Yeah. You didn't force me. No, I'm so anti.
It's like whenever corporations start referring to like their workers as like culture.
Oh,
and they're like, you know, the culture here at our company, you know what I mean? When it's like the culture here is that we're trying to make money. That is the culture. So like, stop trying to masquerade it in this idea that like we're all on the same team. And
no,
it's like there's no team. There's
we're
team
all just
make money.
Trying to pay our goddamn bills because everything is so expensive. And all of us just want to have some time with our friends, our family, or time alone. Not more time here.
Yes.
Sorry.
Agreed.
It just sets me off.
Yeah. The same. I feel the same way about meetings. I think meetings are stupid.
Oh, yeah. You're so anti-meeting.
I'm a big anti-meeting guy. Yeah. One email, meeting's over. There's no need for the meeting anymore.
Mm-mm.
Or you go, hey, guys, what do you think about this? Like that. Don't like it. Cool. Done. But the meetings on meetings on meetings, they're just talking about doing something for hours. No.
Agreed.
All right. Last one.
Last one. Let's do it.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I have a hot take for you all. I am done with the Christmas Carol. It's been around for too damn long. There's too damn many remakes of it. I don't need the Muppets version. I don't need the Sesame Street version. I don't need the Disney Channel version. I don't need any versions of the Christmas Carol.
Really,
there's too
right
many
now
of them. And we have so much, like, has creativity not progressed enough that we have, I don't know, other Christmas stories that could be, you know, memorialized in American culture for all time and eternity? Home Alone 2, for example, hot take. I would love to see that performed on my stage every year. I would love it. But guess what they're not doing? Home Alone 2, because everybody's too freaking busy doing Christmas Carol, and I'm tired. Imagine how tired we are.
First of all, do you own a stage?
Yeah, my stage.
My stage. Are you a theater owner?
No, we're talking about the world stage, okay? Oh, it is all of our stage.
The world stage.
Okay.
The Muppets, come on.
Dear family member, love you so much, but shaming the Muppets Christmas Carol, you have crossed a personal line for me, okay?
Yeah, Jess is a diehard Carol head.
The Muppets Christmas Carol brings up in me a sense of joy that will bring me out of the darkness of anything. Okay, there is nothing more beautiful and spectacular during the holiday season than watching the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Jess loves that movie.
And if I could make everything the Christmas Carol during the Christmas season, I would. I think there's not enough. I will watch every version of the Christmas Carol.
There's not enough. More.
I'll watch every version of the Christmas Carol during the Christmas season. And I will also go, I make Evan go with me and watch it on stage. We go to Orange County and they always have the Christmas Carol.
Yep. We do.
And I want more. More consumption of the Christmas Carol. Now, I understand if you don't like the Christmas Carol, there is a lot of it. But for those of us who love a Christmas Carol, it is pure joy. But the Christmas Carol, it's such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Showing just, you know, the beauty in someone's turn in humanity when they realize just their greed and their selfishness.
But isn't
so beautiful, and the story is stunning.
But isn't the story an old story?
Yeah, it's Charles Dickens.
Right, exactly. So my critique of the Christmas Carol,
which
is not the story, it's that I could understand someone being like, I don't want to watch movies of Muppets.
Hey,
like, I think every movie could be like remade into a Muppet. Like, I would watch Muppet Star Wars, Muppet Godfather.
Oh, interesting. Muppet
Saw. I don't know, man. I would be a Muppet.
Like Muppets getting their head cut off.
Lee, let us go be Muppets together. I swear to God, that is the best take I've ever heard in my life, that everything should be turned into a Muppet movie. Okay? Wow. You?
No, I'm not anti. I've converted a little bit.
Truly, how dare you critique a Muppet, okay? How dare you?
See, what I like about the Muppets is that the writing is like, it has like adult innuendo in it. Yes. And I think that's very good. Like, it takes a very childy thing and goes, oh, just like these little characters with a hand in them, right? It's kind of like, that's a very...
First of all...
Or whatever.
You don't understand, you know, marionettes. Okay. I can't even do the art of marionette. Like, I can't even begin.
The
okay.
Art, yeah. Okay.
I cannot even. Don't even get me started.
It is a little creepy and beautiful, but I will say that, like, I understand that, but I like the idea that they're taking something very childlike and then adding, like, elements to it that connects with adults. But I do understand that, like, watching movie of Muppets is like that's more of, it feels like more of a live thing, like watching someone do marionette live is more the thing.
But how do you feel personally about the Christmas Carol, A Christmas Carol?
The older I've gotten and then having a kid made me like it much more.
Okay.
Well, in my 20s, I didn't get it at all. I felt like, what is this?
I do feel like this dear family member tapped into something that you would be excited about, which is the Home Alone 2, because you are the big Home Alone house, and I don't get Home Alone.
Huge Home Alone.
I don't
fan.
Get Home Alone at all. Yeah. I don't connect with it. I've never connected with it. And that's his Christmas movie, and mine is The Muppets Christmas Carol. So it can be war in the house during the holidays.
But Christmas Carol's a better story because it's like a real story versus Home Alone 2 is like, you know, a movie. So like I think the Christmas Carol is a better story, but I find that Home Alone 2, you know, is a little bit more of a blockbustery movie. So that's my thought.
I'm just asking this of the family member. One day, if you and I see each other, let me try to bring you over to my side, okay? Mm. I have brought Evan over a little bit, okay? I believe in my power and my conviction about the Christmas Carol that I could get you to fall in love with this story. Give me 24 hours, okay? We'll do a full bonanza. Give me 24 hours and I'll get you on my side. That's all.
Side note, to wrap this whole thing up.
Okay.
This inspired something else, which is Christmas caroling.
Okay.
My opinion is that if someone comes to your house and then is Christmas caroling to you,
okay,
it's extremely disrespectful. Because because you have to sit there and watch them and you don't know what to do, right? You're not in a crowd, so you can't just kind of like watch.
Yeah.
You have, you're caught off guard. You're like in your underwear and you're like, excuse, oh, hi. And it's always at night. So you're kind of like, oh, why are you knocking on my door? Is everything okay? And they're like, good evening, sir. And then there's like five.
I can picture Zach Christmas caroling. It's the only time that he feels the need to.
There's like five like theater kids.
Okay, well, watch yourself.
Who are sitting there going like, hit
watch
it.
Watch yourself.
1, 2, 3. Have a holly jolly. Oh, you didn't hit the high harmony on that. And it's like they're sitting there and they're performing for you. It's like when you watch videos of people on the subway in New York, like performing, like they're forcing my new single. And they're like playing their guitar to the people who are sitting there, like coming home from work. It's the same thing. It's like now I'm sitting there having to look dead in the eyes and you're forcing me to listen to you. And then after you sing and force me to listen to your performance that I didn't want to see anyways, there's kind of like I need to tip you or give you something now, right? And so like that's super disrespectful too. So there is a level of like, yes, do I believe that if you enjoy caroling, you're a more joyful person and you have more love in your heart? 1,000%. But for those of us who don't have that level of love in their heart, I think you need Christmas carolers far and wide need to really do a checkup on themselves.
It is a forcible serenade.
Oh, you never want to be a captive audience.
Yeah, no. It is a forced serenade.
It's like
serenade.
Old grandma stuff. You know what I mean? It's old people stuff. It's like if you're old and you're like, oh, this is nice. Young people coming to my door. Sure. If you're like 30 and you have two kids screaming in the house and I got to sit and watch you go, you know, silver bells. And you're just like, oh my God. And then they always do like they don't just do like one song. There's like three. It's like a medley.
What if, I have an idea, a suggestion. What if you just start singing along with them really loudly, perhaps like off key?
Yeah.
You know what? Out. That's a great technique. You know? They would like, hate it.
Because you're participating. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
But like you're taking away their moment, which is why they're doing
it. And they might cut it short.
And now they're the captive audience.
It's kind of like when a salesperson comes to your door.
Bust out the MLM. Like, oh, have you heard about...
do you want to make $1 million overnight? Or have you heard about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, if you start throwing at them, you start selling them. And then they're like, you know what? They mark you off on the list.
Wait, let me get my guitar. I'll be right back.
What key are you guys in?
Just serenade a salesperson.
Sing it to the left, you're a little flat. Almost there. Good, good. And you start like coaching and they're going to be like, oh, well, thank you so much. And they're going to mark you off on the list. Like crazy guy wants to join in.
I have a suggestion for Christmas carolers, people who have a passion for caroling. I think we should create an app or some sort of website where you can book times to have carolers come to you. Like the carolers are like, hey, we're performing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on these days, and here are our time slots. And so then you can on the website be like, I'd love for you to come.
They would get zero signups.
To my, okay.
No one wants this.
Okay,
this is forced on
this
people.
This is a very anti-normally how I feel because I hate a serenade. But during the Christmas season, you know I love a Christmas carol. You know I become a different person during the Christmas season. I wear my Santa hat everywhere.
You love Christmas.
I love it so much. Yeah. That I would love Christmas carolers to come, but if I'm ready. If I'm ready, it's jarring.
Actually, if Muppets came to my house.
Oh,
yeah. Come on in.
They can come anytime.
That's insane.
Anytime, baby.
Well, I really felt like I got out a lot of poison in me.
I did. We didn't fight that much, which is too bad, but like we fought enough.
I thought we fought more with the audience. And that
I'm
was
so sorry,
that was
everybody.
Good. You know what I mean?
Sorry, like,
I felt like me and you didn't fight as much as we fought with you beautiful family members. And that's okay. As long as someone fought.
But that's what family's about, is we disagree. We argue sometimes. Yes. But we end it with love. And we love you all.
We love
all.
You all so much. Thank you for participating.
Yeah, thank you. And again, we literally had hundreds. So per usual, with future call homes, we'll throw some in.
Yes.
Sound good?
Yes, absolutely. We love you.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Yes. And we will see you on Wednesday.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.